Akasha, welcome. Achron Achron Chaviv. Today is the last of our five classes. And thank you very much for the series. Next Monday, we'll have two classes at 11 a.m. Daniel Reinhold, the Dean of Revel, Bernard Revel Graduate School, the Yeshiva University, will be giving, he's a professor, PhD in philosophy from England also, actually. And he'll be speaking on Shuva. And then at 1 o'clock, Jennifer Raskis will be talking. Her and Rebecca Winter are going to be giving a joint series on Tshuva in Tanakh, using models in Tanakh. Anyways, that's next Monday. But okay, Kashira, this Monday is all yours. Vakasha.
Shalom, everyone. Happy to see you and to meet everyone. I'm actually in Luzern in Switzerland, in a family vacation. Ken, I just got off at the top of a very high mountain to come and meet you. So that's why the cap. I apologize for that. So today I wanted to talk to you about Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rabbi Chaim Ben Attar. I'm going to share screen so you could see the presentation and then we can talk about him. Here we go. So Rav Chaim Ben Attar, Or HaChaim HaKadosh. I have something coming, jumping. What's so special about Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rabbi Chaim Ben Attar, there's a few special things about him. But what I wanted to point out, we've been learning about a few gdolim, about a few rabbis, very important rabbis that influenced their halakha view or in their psikat halakha, their influence a generation. And I think Or HaChaim HaKadosh, one of the things that are very special about him, that even though he was born in Morocco and he came to Israel towards the end of his life, he passed away a year after he made Aliyah, after he came to Israel and lived in Tzfat. But what's so important about him and what's so special about him, that even though he was a chacham, he was a rabbi in Morocco, Habaal Shem Tov from Ukraine, thought that Rav Chaim Ben Attar is a very special person, and he decided to call him HaKadosh. And that's why we call Rav Chaim Ben Attar Or HaChaim. Or HaChaim, it's the name of his perush, of his interpretation to Torah. So that he's named after his book, like a lot of rabbis do. We call them after their books. But Habaal Shem Tov added to his name HaKadosh, the Holy One. There aren't a lot of rabbis that were giving the title HaKadosh. We have Ha'ari HaKadosh, we have Hashla HaKadosh, and we have Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And what's so interesting about it, that Habaal Shem Tov and Rav Chaim Ben Attar never met, even though they were in the same years. I'll show you what years, you know. So he was born in 1696. It's very early, and we don't have a lot of information about the early years of Or HaChaim HaKadosh. We only have stories that came on later from his students, from his daughters, but we don't have a lot of stories that were mamash testimony to his life at the early years. Everything that we know about Or HaChaim HaKadosh, we actually know about the four last years of his life before he came to Israel, on his journey to Israel, when he stopped in Italy and he published a lot of his books. And then when he came to Israel and he lived here for a year and then he passed. What you see here in the picture, that's his tombstone in Har HaZeitim in Yerushalayim. And you can see it's a very special tombstone. It's mamash standing out. It's all colored in blue, like the people from Tzfat, because of the Gemara that is saying Tchelet Dome LeYam. The color light blue is like the sea, the ocean. Yam Dome LeRakia, VeRakia Udome LeKisei HaKavod. The ocean looks like the sky, and the sky, they look exactly like Kisei HaKavod, like the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting. So that's why a lot of things in Tzfat and Bichlal, light blue is considered to be a color of the Mekubalim. So this is his tombstone from the Mekubalim. It's a bit hard to read what it says here, but if you can look in here, it says Chaim Attar, Nitbakesh Le Yeshiva Shel Mala, יוזאין תמוז להנות מזיו השכינה, in order to enjoy the שכינה. הוא המחבר ספרי חפץ השם, he wrote the book חפץ השם, פרי זה, וספר אור החיים, וראשון לציון. So these are the most important books that he wrote. Here we can see here. חפץ השם. And these are essays on ברכות, חולין ושבת. It's his interpretation to those גמרות and שס. His most important book and the book that he's well known because of it is Or HaChaim. Or HaChaim, and we're going to read a bit from the Hakdama, from the preview to the Or HaChaim. We're going to read in a minute. I brought you a few paragraphs from his Hakdama. But Or HaChaim also, he took it out in 1742. He wrote it much earlier. But when, during the years of 1742, he was on his way to Israel and he was in Italy. And there in Italy, his students started printing out his books. And that's why you have in 1732, in 1742, and in 1750, all of his books came out. But he actually wrote them from early age and on. So Or HaChaim, it's his commentary for Torah. And what's so special about the commentary is that it's a Kabbalah together with Parshanut, meaning it's Pardes, Pshat, Drash, Pshat, I have something I
Remez.
Ken, Drash Vesod. So he mamash went, he's going through the parashot from each parasha, and he's writing his commentary according to the Pardes. And it's the book that is mamash, the Hasidim, the whole Hasidut movement, mamash adopted Or HaChaim, adopted the book, and they learn it, and they refer to it in their books. I'm going to show you. Pri Tahor, Pri Tohar, it's about Shulchan Aruch, about Yoreh Do'ah. Rishon Letzion, it's more about Gemara, and about Harambam, and about Tanakh. A lot of books from Nevi'im, Ketubim, so he wrote a lot of commentary about that, and that's in Rishon Letzion. So these are the main work that Or HaChaim HaKadosh have written. You can see that it has halakha in it, it has Torah, and within the halakha and Torah, there's a lot of hashkafat olam, a lot of his view of the world and his halachic view, and you can read it throughout his writing. There's a lot of very interesting things to say about Or HaChaim HaKadosh, but I think the most interesting point that I wanted to point out today that, as I said, he never met the Baal Shem Tov, but yet HaBaal Shem Tov said that they've met, that they've learned Torah together. Or HaChaim HaKadosh was known to do Aliyot Neshama. Aliyat Neshama is some sort of, I can't really explain it, it's a Kabbali ceremony that only great rabbis can do, a G'dolei Hador, they can perform it. You fast for a lot of times and then you daven, and then at one point at night, your neshama is going up to learn Torah in the heavens. And then HaBaal Shem Tov used to do a lot of Aliyot Neshama and came back to tell us that he was learning with Eliyahu Navi, that he was learning with all kinds of Tanaim and Amoraim and whatever. And so does Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Or HaChaim HaKadosh is writing on himself that he did Aliyot Neshama, that he went up to the heavens to learn Torah with a lot of, he had hitgaluyot, like, how do you say hitgalut?
Revelation.
Toda rabba, revelations. Like a mamash spiritual revelation, that it's coming out of sigufim. Sigufim is the Hasidish way of fasting, not enjoying this world, to be as like as an angel as possible. And then after a few days that you're fasting and you're learning Torah, and you're davening, then you can have an aliyat neshama. Again, not everyone can do it, only mamash, specific individuals, great rabbis in previous generations. So this is what a Baal Shem Tov, that never met Or HaChaim HaKadosh, said about him. Rabbeinu Baal Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Nishmato Miruach David, his soul is from the spirit of David HaMelech, Shel Atzilut. ובכל לילה שמע תורה מפי הקדוש ברוך הוא. Every night he heard Torah, he was learning Torah from הקדוש ברוך הוא. והיה מיורדי מרכבה, Yorde Merkava is like in Yechezkel when we have the Parashat Merkava that Yechezkel is looking at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's called Merkava. So V'haya miYorde Merkava, meaning he actually spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, learned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'gilui Neshamot, V'madregot Ruach HaKodesh. There are levels, elevations of Ruach HaKodesh that Or HaChaim HaKadosh was able to do. V'maran HaBaal Shem Tov Aya Nefesh David De'atzilut, and also HaBaal Shem Tov was also part of the Neshama of David HaMelech from Atzilut. V'aya Rotze Sheitkashru Beyachad Nefesh V'ruach, and he wanted to combine the Nefesh and the Spirit together. V'titgale HaNeshama V'chaya De'atzilut V'tiyya Geula Amitit. I don't fully understand what HaBaal Shem Tov said about Or HaChaim, but I think HaBaal Shem Tov and Or HaChaim understood one another. And even though they were in completely different areas of the world, still they, in some way, they knew of one another. HaBaal Shem Tov sent his student to go and to look for the book of Or HaChaim. So I'm trying to imagine it to myself, like rabbi and student in Russia, looking for a book that was written and published in Italy of a rabbi from Morocco, Kilu, and the students of Baal Shem Tov, their testimony that they're saying, why do we need to learn this book? Where is it coming from? How do you know about this book? And a Baal Shem Tov didn't explain. He just said, you should go, you should look it up. Or HaChaim HaKadosh, you should learn it. You should have it, even if you don't understand, because it was written in Hebrew. And as you'll see in a minute, I'll show you, it's not a very easy Hebrew. It's like very, still 1700, okay? So it's the Hebrew is a bit hard. And HaBaal Shem Tov said, even if you don't understand what you're reading, if you can't read the Hebrew, just have the book at your home. Just have it. It's a good sgula, just to have the book of Or HaChaim HaKadosh, because it has so much depth and so much Torah in it. It's a good protection to the house. So you'll see a lot of Hasidim. I just starting to get to know Breslev, Hasidut Breslev. So a lot of Hasidut Breslev. At their home, you will find Or HaChaim HaKadosh, all the Parashat Shavua. So I think it's amazing. And the special connection between HaBaal Shem Tov and Or HaChaim HaKadosh. So one Shabbat, HaBaal Shem Tov, was for Seuda Shlishit, was washing his hands for Seuda Shlishit, for Netilat Yadayim. And all of a sudden he said, Kaban Ner HaMaravi, the light from the east, from the west, has extinguished, is turned off. And his students didn't understand the Baal Shem Tov, what he was talking about. And he told them, I'll tell you after Shabbat, when Shabbat comes out. And then on Motzei Shabbat, he told them, there was in every generation, there is one person, Gdol Dor, that understands the meaning of Netilat Yadayim. Mamash fully understands it. When I washed my hands for Seuda Shlishit, all of the sudden, I understood Netilat Yadayim. And why did it happen? Because Or HaChaim passed away. Or HaChaim passed away in Yerushalayim, and Or HaChaim was the one person in the generation that understood Netilat Yadayim. The minute that he passed away, it came to me. And that's how HaBaal Shem Tov in Russia knew that Or HaChaim passed away in Yerushalayim, in Tzfat. And he told his student, at that Motzei Shabbat, Or HaChaim passed away. And Be'emet, he passed away on that date. So that's a lot of testimony. In a lot of Hasidut books, you will see the same testimony. Yesh kavana achat benetilat yadayim. There is one kavana, there is one intention that you need to know it in Netilat Yadayim le'achila, that before you eat, she'en megalim ota ela lechad bedora. No one knows it, no one understands it, only one person in a generation. Until now, he hayta lenachala l'Rabbi Chaim ben Atar, and only Rabbi Chaim ben Atar, or HaChaim HaKadosh, he was the only one that knew that kavanah, that understood Netilat Yadayim. Ve'ata b'shad Netilat Yadayim l'Seuda Shlishit, nitgala li sod zeh. And now when I washed my hands for Seuda Shlishit during Shabbat, I found out the secret of Netilat Yadayim. וזה האות שהרבי חיים בן אתר כבר איננו. And then I understood that if I understand Netilat Yadayim right now, then Rabbi Chaim ben Atar passed away. That's the story, that's the testimony from HaBaal Shem Tov. אמרת לי פעם אחת, that's again from the students of the Baal Shem Tov talking about Or HaChaim HaKadosh. אמרת לי פעם אחת, you told me once, שראה אותה במראה שבא חכם לירושלים ממדינת מערב. that you can see Habal Shem Tov sitting in Russia, and he knows and he tells his students, I see. Nachon, Habal Shem Tov is medaber, he's talking in the, even though he can't see it, Nachon, it's not like they were sitting in Zoom, but he saw it in his mind that there was one Chacham that came to Yerushalayim from Medinat Arab, from an Arabic state, country, והוא ניצוץ של משיח, and he has the spark of the משיח, רק שהוא עצמו אינו יודע, but this Chacham, this rabbi, he doesn't know it on himself, that he has the spark of משיח, והוא חכם גדול, and he's a great rabbi, בנגלה ובנסתר, both in תורה שבעל פה, and both in קבלה, ובעל בכי, בעל בכי, it's the greatest compliment that you can give to a Kabbalah, someone that learns Kabbalah, meaning he understands. I don't know if you remember our first shiur of the Ben Ish Chai, when we spoke about the importance of crying, the importance of tears, because that's how you change the din, the judgment, into chesed. That's how you add on chesed to the world. So to say that he ba'al bechi, he knows how to cry, meaning by that he actually saying he knows how to change, or he knows how to affect the world that will have more chesed and more rachamim on Am Yisrael. ואחר כך אמרת לי שאין אתה רואה אותו, וכמדומה לך שהלך לעולמו. And then you told me, I don't see him anymore. He doesn't come to our meetings. So I think he passed away. So you understood that he passed away. וכשבאתי לכאן חקרתי אחר זה הדבר, and then when I came to Israel, I investigated, וסיפרו לי מזה האיש פלאי פלאות, and they told me about this person, wonders of wonders, ושמו רבי חיים בן עטר, and they told me that his name, because הבעל שם טוב kept on talking about this חכם, about this rabbi, but he didn't know his name. They were sitting for חברותה in the שמיים, in the heavens, without knowing one another as people, but only knowing one another as neshamot. So Habal Shem Tov never knew to tell his students what was his name. But then this student, if I'm not mistaken, the Rabbi Daniela, I'll show you from his book, again, another testimony. So he's saying, I went to Israel and I went to Yerushalayim and I investigated about this Chacham, and they told me that his name was Rabbi Chaim Ben Atar. והיה חסיד גדול, he was a great chassid, and again, this is Hasidim from Russia talking about a rabbi from Morocco, and they're calling him Hasid. I think it's amazing. I'm not sure that Rabbi Chaim Ben Atar called himself a Hasid, but they identified him as a Hasid because he was such a well-known to be in Kabbalah, in Aliyot Neshama, so they called him Hasid. Haya Hasid gadol, charif, sharp, ובקי בנגלה ובנסתר, and he had a lot of knowledge, both in Torah and in Kabbalah, והיו כל חכמי ישראל לפניו, and all the חכמים of Israel was like קוף בפני אדם. That's a bit of an insult. Like a monkey, if you take all the rabbis in Israel at that time, they were like monkeys sitting in front of a person. He was the person, and all the other people are like monkeys. That's the gap between the knowledge and the chokhmah in Torah of Rabbi Chaim Ben Atar to all the rabbis. Meaning, you can look at a rabbi and he can be very smart and beautiful and have a lot of knowledge, but he is nothing, like his level is mamash, you can't compare it to the level of Rabbi Chaim Ben Atar. Marcus, another testimony. This is how they described Rabbi Chaim Ben Atar. Nes hadegel shel hasidut. The Nes hadegel, it's the flag, like the flag that is going at the front of the parade, the first flag of the parade of the Hasidut. Kematzpen shemar'eh et hakivun al pnei ha'okeanus. Just like the matzpen is, I should know the word for matzpen, slicha.
Compass.
Like a compass. Thank you so much for helping me. Like a compass that shows you the direction at the ocean. Nachon, on the ocean, it's very hard to know the directions because there are no mountains, no valleys that you can navigate according to. So navigating in the ocean is very hard. So the compass, like the compass that shows you the direction on the ocean, hu amazon haruchani hanifchar, this is the selected food for soul for menuchat Shabbat, for Shabbat. So the instruction that the Baal Shem Tov gave his students, that during Shabbat, you should learn Orach Chaim. When you sit and you learn Parashat Shavua, you should learn Parashat Shavua with the commentary of Orach Chaim HaKadosh. And they called it the food for soul, the selected food for soul for Shabbat. The son of Rabbi Israel Mirajin, Rabbi David Mitoshorkotov, sorry, I can't pronounce it. You see, it's 1823. So he said that his father, Rabbi Israel Mirozin, said, כמו שבדורות הראשונים היה הזוהר הקדוש מסוגל לטהרת הנשמה, like in early generation, the Zohar, the book of the Zohar himself, was good in order to purify your soul, כן, בזמן הזה מסוגל לימוד האור החיים הקדוש לטהר את הנשמה. In our generation, if you can't learn the Zohar, the same action as the Zohar, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, have the same action. It's able to purify your soul. Rabbi Pinchas Mikuritz, he was one of the most famous Talmidim של הבעל שם טוב. That's also the previous testimony that I gave you. It's also from him, from Rabbi Pinchas Mikuritz. You'll see the years 1791, 1726, are similar years to the years of אור החיים הקדוש. And he said, אין דבר שיוכל להחביא את עצמו כמו בספר הזוהר ולפעמים בספר אור החיים. There's nothing that you can that can hide himself like in the Zohar and like the אור החיים. What I'm showing you here that they put it together on the same level, the Zohar and the book of the אור החיים. The Imre Pinchas. Imre Pinchas is the student of Baal Shem Tov, the Rav Pinchas Miteshtinkov. Pam achat ra'a harav, meaning the Baal Shem Tov, he saw or gadol ba'ir. He saw in the city, he saw a very big light. There's a lot of story about the Baal Shem Tov. I'm just getting to know all of them, starting to learn a bit about the Baal Shem Tov. But one of the most important stories about the Baal Shem Tov, that he had a very strange vision, meaning he was able to look at reality and see reality. But in addition to that, the Baal Shem Tov had the ability, like putting on glasses and to look at reality from a different perspective that no one was able to see. He would look at a person and tell him his future. He would look at reality and tell them there's something else going on here. Like the famous story of the kid going into the shul. I'm sure you know that story, but because it's Rosh Chodesh Elul, maybe it's a good time to say a story for a Baal Shem Tov, that he walked in Rosh Hashanah. He walked to the shul in the shtetl where he lived, to the Jewish community shul, and everyone was crying and davening because it was Rosh Hashanah. But Baal Shem Tov said all of their tefillot stayed inside the shul. None of their tefillot went up to the sky. And then a little kid came into the shul and all the adults told him, you have to be quiet, don't interrupt, we're davening here. If you don't know how to daven, go outside, nachon, like we do today to our kids. And then this little kid that really felt the tefillah, felt the kedusha, wanted to express himself. And because the only thing that he knew how to do, he was a shepherd to the sheep. So he took out his little flute that he used to play to the sheep. And he took up the flute and he started playing in the middle of the shul, in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, and started playing in the middle of tefillah. All the people of the shul started screaming at him, what are you doing? Chilul HaKodesh, you don't do that on Rosh Hashanah, it's Muktzeh. And only Baal Shem Tov told them, leave him, let him play, because he's the one that pushing all of your tefillot up to the shamayim, because his kavanah was from the inside. His kavanah was mamash l'shem shamayim. He really wanted to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He felt it and he expressed himself. And that's why it helped all the tefillot to go up. So Baal Shem Tov had a special vision that he was able not just to see the reality, but also to see the spiritual reality. So one time when he was with his students, they went into a city and Baal Shem Tov told them, look around you in the city. There's a huge light coming out from the city. It obviously wasn't a regular light. It wasn't a fire or electricity. It was something else that only Baal Shem Tov was able to see. And then he asked, נמצא שם ספר אור החיים. And the Baal Shem Tov, when he saw this big light, he understood that there is a book that is creating that light. And he asked in the city if there's anyone in that city that owns the book of the Orach Chaim. Ve'nimtza sham beyad echad chumash im Orach Chaim. And they found a person that is holding a chumash with the commentary of the Orach Chaim. Ve'hu he'ir al kol ha'ir. And that shone light on all of the city. Ve'kibel al atzmo lilmod b'chol yom daf me'Orach Chaim b'chumashim ha'gdolim. And then they accepted on themselves to learn from the book of Orach Chaim every day, like we do Daf Yomi. So they did Orach Chaim Yomi every day to learn from the book of Orach Chaim. So after talking so much about the importance of the books of the Orach Chaim, maybe we'll try to read a bit from inside. What I brought to you here is the Hagdama LePirush to Chumash Bereshit, from the preview to Chumash Bereshit. That's from the book of Orach Chaim. You can listen to the Hebrew and see that it sounds like ancient Hebrew. It's not the kind of Hebrew that we speak today, but it's still very beautiful. The Chassidim says that even if you don't understand what you're reading, even though, read it. There's this gula, there's some sort of power to the words of the Orach Chaim. So we're going to read it, and let's try and translate and learn a bit together from the words of the Orach Chaim. And here I brought to you the paragraph that he explains why did he call his book, the commentary on Torah, why did he call it Or HaChaim, the light of the life. Ki HaTorah nikret Or, because Torah is called light. ולפי שיש כמה דברים שהתייחס להם אור הנר ואור השמש והירח והכוכבים. There are a few things that relates to light. Nachon, we can have a light from the candle, we have light from the sun, we have light from the stars, we have light from the moon. לזה ציינתיו אורח חיים. And that's why I've mentioned that it's not just light, but it's the light of life. שם זה מיוחס לבורא עולם. Because it's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's referring to the creator of the world. הנקרא חיים, דכתיב מלך חיים. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of his names is חיים, life. ולתורה שנקראת חיים. We also know that Torah, one of the names of the Torah, is חיים. דכתיב, תורת חכם, מקור חיים. ולצדיקים הנקראים חיים. דכתיב, ואתם הדבקים בהשם, חיים כולכם היום. Meaning, Orach Chaim is saying there are lights, there's light, but it's not just light that could come from different places, from a candle, from the sun. The light of the Torah, and the light of the Torah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is Orach Chaim. Chaim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chaim is Torah, and Chaim is the tzaddikim, the righteous people who are learning Torah and connecting the HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah. Ve'ya'atsuni kilyotai, my kidneys have gave me advice. I don't know, it's a literal translation. I don't know if it works in English to say that my kidney. But I think what it means is I knew from my inside, from my kishke, I understood it from my inside. It's not like someone from the outside that told me, a friend or a rabbi that came to me and told me, you should do that. But it's something internal from myself. Nachon, like Avraham Avinu, the Midrash says, how did Avraham Avinu knew Torah? His kidney taught him. Nachon is something within himself. So in Hebrew we say, klayot. יעצוני כליותיי להדפיס החידושים סמוכים למקרא ותרגום. So the advice that I understood from myself, that was from my inside, was to print my commentary next to the chumash itself and next to the targum. So you'll have Pasuk in Bereshit, you'll have the translation, you have Targum Unkelus, and then you would have Orach Chaim HaKadosh, all on the same page. Like you have in the Gemara, you'll have the Gemara in the middle, and then you'll have Rashi and Tosfot. Orach Chaim, it's not a book that comes on itself. It's not a commentary that you can read just Orach Chaim, but it's printed like that in a way that it's attached to the book, like Rashi is attached. So you'll have Chumash, Targum, translation, Unkelus, and Orach Chaim. ופירוש אדון המבקשים ואורם רבנו שלמה עליו השלום לתועלת הבא לקרות שלא יחסר לו כל לחם אבירים וביררתי לי מאיתי תחת פשטי הכתובים שהם דרך קצרה. So what I did here is I commentary that my commentary is just for the first level is just the pshat, just to explain what is written in the Chumash, and that's the short way. ודקדוקים השייכים ליישוב הכתובים, and all kinds of grammar, kind of a grammar or the Hebrew language, to try and to understand the dikduk, the grammar of what it's written in the Chumash. וייחדתי דרך ארוכה, מסע ומתן, בענייני הפוסקים ויישוב מאמרי רבותינו, זיכרונם לברכה. So the short version of Orach Chaim would be just the plain level of explaining what is written in the Chumash. If it's through just explanation on the pshat, on the pasuk, and if it's through the grammar. But there's also a long way, and the long way is the Masa Umatan, the Masa Umatan, the back and forth of learning together with all the other parshanut, with all the other commentaries, and to answer them. If the Ibn Ezra is asking a question, so to bring the question and to try and to answer it by myself. ביישובי מאמרי רבותינו זיכרונם לברכה, וכתבתי העולם מתוך מסע ומתן דרך קצרה. So there's the long way and the short way. You can just read the first level, or you can go deeper and try to learn more commentary and to see how he analyzed the psukim. But there's more to that. ולפעמים אמשוך בכסת הסופר. And sometimes I will pull it a bit longer. בפשטי הכתובים, and I'll write a longer commentary, בדרך משונה מדרשת חזל, in a different way that was commentary before me, that was comment before me. I'll write something else, something new, something different. וכבר גיליתי דעתי שאין אני חולק חס וחלילה על הראשונים, אפילו כמלא נימה. It's not חס וחלילה to say that I contradict the generations before me, the rabbis before me, אלא שהרשות נתונה לדורשי תורה, לעובדה ולזורעה. But there is a permission to someone who is learning Torah to say something new, or to look at the psukim and to try and see them in a different light, or to read a different commentary, even though I'm not the Ibn Ezra, I'm not Rashi, I'm not the Radak, but I'm still able to write something new about the Torah. וארץ החיים מעלת פירות לכל זרע אשר יזרע בה בעלה בן תורה. The Torah is like the land, and in the land you can plant seeds, and the seeds will grow, and they will bear fruits, and they will come up and they'll grow. And this is what you do in Torah. You have the Torah, and you're putting your ideas, and the first generation gave their ideas, and I'm coming on the next generation and adding and learning more. רק לדבר הלכה על אשר יש שם הרוח אשר תכנו ראשונים. This is different than writing halakha, because in halakha, you can't contradict what the previous generation wrote. You need to add on to them. But when you comment on the Torah, you can say, I read the Ibn Ezra here, but I disagree with his commentary, and I want to write something else. I have a different ideas about how to read this pasuk, about how to read this parasha. So what Orach Chaim is saying here, that he has some sort of freedom to write new things, even though previous generation never wrote them, or even though previous generation wrote it differently, he has the freedom of imagination, of drasha, to write whatever he wants. And it's not like writing halakha, because in halakha, you have to agree with the previous generation. In Torah, you can write new. אחריהם לא ישנו גם לא לפדות מדעת אנוש דברים חדשים אשר לא שיערו נוכלי התורה מפה אל פה, אלא על פי הקדמותיהם. He's explaining here that halakha is different from Torah שבעל פה, from Torah שבכתב, because halakha, the whole idea is that the tradition is coming from generation to generation, and every generation has to build on the previous generation and to add on to it, but you can't contradict the previous generation, and that's why it's different from writing, from commenting on Gemara, than to comment on Chumash. אלא על פי הקדמותיהם אשר קיבלו דלי מדלי אשר דלה לנו איש האלוקים. He's saying it's like passing water from one bucket to the other bucket. נכון? When you're pouring water from one bucket to the other bucket and then it goes down the line, that's how Torah שבעל פה, that's how the oral Torah, that's how it works. It's going from generation to generation, and it's important to pour it from one bucket to another bucket. But when you come to Torah שבכתב, when you come to comment on the Chumash, you can dig a whole new well. You can dig a whole new stream. You can open a whole new line. So this is what he wrote about the Torah and the way that he view of the commentary on Torah. In his other book, the Chafetz Chaim, there's a testimony of Or HaChaim himself that Rabbi Chaim ben Attar is writing, that he testify on himself that he is have Aliyot Neshama, or that he's the Mashiach. It's not very sure. A lot of in Bar Ilan, there's a whole department of research, and there's someone who wrote his PhD about Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and there's a whole research. Did Or HaChaim HaKadosh thought of himself as the Mashiach, or did only HaBaal Shem Tov said that Or HaChaim HaKadosh have the spark of the Mashiach? So there's no answer to that. I can't answer it. But there's a lot of paragraphs like this one that I'm bringing to you here, that Or HaChaim HaKadosh testify on himself. Niftechu HaShamayim, the skies have opened, ve'er'eh mar'ot Elokim borek tzot ha'aretz, and I've seen the vision or the sights of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who creates the ends of the earth. Ve'etbonen b'ma shehorashti li'etbonen b'petach divrei kodesh, and I've looked, and what I was allowed to look, only like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me permission to look only at certain things, ve'eiroti mimizracha shel Torah, and then I was able to comment about the Torah. This is the first quote, and the second quote, ve'hergashti benafshi, and I felt in my soul, she'ra'ata nistarot, that it saw the hidden things, ve'tochal ve'tisba v'totar, I was able to eat, I was able to be satisfied, and there was more left out. So I was able to learn Torah in a way, I don't know if it's completely with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but like in some way HaKadosh Baruch Hu permitted him to learn Torah in a very high, in a way that I can't understand, that he was able to learn the mystery of the Torah, or the depth of the Torah, and there was so much to learn, but I was only able to learn as much as I could, and there's so much left still to learn. The Rebbe Mitzans also really appreciated Or HaChaim HaKadosh. From HaBaal Shem Tov and down, it came down to all the different chassiduyot, but I think that it's beautiful to see how different chassiduyot quote or refer to Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And Rabbi Mitzan says, Baal Or HaChaim bevadai chiber sifro beruach hakodesh. He wrote his book, beruach hakodesh, meaning prophets wrote books from beruach hakodesh, nachon, together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling them what to write. So it's mamash a level that I can't understand. ולכן המלמד, המקריחיש רוח קודשו של אור החיים, הוא הפיקורס שאינו מאמין בגדולי הדור. And if you teach Torah, and you deny the Ruach Kodesh of Or HaChaim HaKadosh, it's like you deny everything. If you're saying that Or HaChaim HaKadosh was just a regular rabbi that sat in Morocco or in Italy or in Israel and wrote his commentary on Torah, and he was just a regular rabbi that wrote it from his mind, then this is a pikosut. This is mamash, like saying the whole Torah is not true, because it is obvious that Or HaChaim HaKadosh wrote his comments with help from heavens. ויפה עשיתם שלא עזבתם את בניכם בידו וישר כוכם בזה. There was an argument about Or HaChaim HaKadosh in later generation, and this is what the Rebbe Mitzans is referring to, about people that said, okay, what's the big deal about Or HaChaim HaKadosh? It's a commentary on Torah, beautiful, but you know, it's not like prophecy. And the Rebbe Mitzans said, you don't understand, it's mamash, he wrote it together with help from above. I didn't want just to talk about Or HaChaim HaKadosh without actually learning something of Or HaChaim HaKadosh. So what I brought to you here, and you're all muted, so feel free to say it out loud. There's a tefillah, a special tefillah that Or HaChaim HaKadosh wrote. And I think it's a beautiful tefillah. I'm going to try and translate it as much as I can. Yehi ratzon milfanecha, avinu malkenu, yedidut or nafshenu, ruchenu venishmatenu, למען בריתך אשר ידידות אור נפשנו, רוחנו ונשמתנו, למען בריתך אשר קראת ל-13 מידות שאינם חוזרות ריקה מלפניך. We're saying it because of the covenant that there is between הקדוש ברוך הוא and עם ישראל. That's why we have the right to even turn to you, הקדוש ברוך הוא, to even ask from you for anything, is because of 13 המידות. 13 המידות is השם, השם, אל, רחום וחנון, ערך אפיים ורב חסד, באמת, נוצר חסד לאלפים. And this is the essence of the covenant between הקדוש ברוך הוא and עם ישראל. These are the midot, these are the traits that הקדוש ברוך הוא holds, and therefore עם ישראל or the people from עם ישראל need to try and to work on to be a bit better like הקדוש ברוך הוא, to have mercy, רחום וחנון וחסד ואמת, to be truthful, all of these. So because of these 13 midot, we are able to talk to you, שאינם חוזרות ריקה מלפניך, because we know there's a lot of midrashim that once you say 13 midot, הקדוש ברוך הוא can't not listen to you. He has to listen to you. נכון? There is a gemara in Ta'anit that they're asking for rain, and הקדוש ברוך הוא and all the rabbis are going in shul and saying, הקדוש ברוך הוא, please help us, we need rain, we need rain, and there is no rain. And then Rabbi Akiva is coming, and he's going in the shul and he's saying Hashem, Hashem, El Rachum V'Chanun, and he's saying all 13 Amidot, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't ignore it. And then the Gemara is saying, from here we learn that when a person is saying 13 Amidot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just can't help himself. He can't ignore 13 Amidot when Am Yisrael is saying 13 Amidot. So Or HaChaim HaKadosh is also saying, there's something about 13 Amidot that when you say it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't ignore it, and that's why we are talking to you. Zchor ahavatenu v'chibatenu, please remember our love and our affection. Hashev shchinatcha lebet kodshenu, return your shchina to Beit HaMikdash, to the temple. V'achzer lishtasheh banu ki mekedem, and please come back to be with us just in the like the previous years. Ki kasha predatcha mimenu, because it is hard for us to be apart from you. אחזר לי כפרדת נפשנו מרוחנו, just like it is hard from our body and souls to be unattached, it's hard. איננו וקלטה נפשנו אל גאולת שכינתך, we desire the שכינה, we long for the שכינה, מתחננים ובוכים לפניך השם, we cry and we beg before you השם, אל גאולת שכינתך, for the גאולה, מתחננים ובוכים הרחמן על גלות השכינה, הושיע השם שכינתך, ודבק נפשנו באהבתך, and please, also this is very well known from הבעל שם טוב, דבק נפשנו באהבתך, there's something about gluing, about the glue, the need to attach our soul to your love, באהבתך הנעימה והערבה על נפשנו, רוחנו ונשמתנו, וייעול מלכנו בהיכלה, אמן כן יהי רצון, ונשמתנו וייעול מלכנו בהיכלה, אמן כן יהי רצון. So this is the תפילה that אור החיים הקדוש wrote, that it says it's a well-known סגולה to say it, it's considered to be something good to say this תפילה, in order to ask from הקדוש ברוך הוא to be with us. From a different book of אור החיים הקדוש, we still have a few more minutes, נכון? I allowed myself. So from חפץ חיים, חפץ השם, it's the book of commentary on the Gemara. And here I brought to you a paragraph from Gemara Shabbat. Gemara Shabbat מידף פייחת. תוכחה מגולה לקט של תלמידי חכמים אשר לומדים בתענוג ללא מאמץ. There is a criticism for תלמידי חכמים that learning with a lot of delight and they're learning with pleasure and without effort. וכאשר תרצה להתבונן עמו בעומק השס, הוא מתעייף. And when you start to go deep into the Gemara, when you start to try and understand, like learning בעיון, going to all the ראשונים and trying to learn and understand the סוגיה a bit better, so this תלמיד חכם is getting tired, והתעצל והתרשל, אם תמצי, and he's a bit lazy. He's learning Gemara just for the fun of it. He's enjoying to learn Gemara, but he doesn't go deep. He doesn't, when it's getting a bit hard for him, he doesn't put the effort. He doesn't put the effort to understand the Gemara better. באיזה קושי שאינו מניחו לעבור עליו, there's hardship, and he can't go through it. יבקש לדחות איזו דחייה קלה ומקולקלת לבלתי יתרח. So what happens when you learn Gemara? And it's very sad because I can really identify myself with this, because when I learn and I approach something that is really hard for me and I don't understand it, and I keep on reading the page, and I'm like, okay, I don't understand anything. What are they talking about? What is the question? What is the answer? What are they arguing about? So Or HaChaim is saying here, what's happening is that you'll try to postpone it. This is your Yetzer Hara. It will try and tell you, okay, you learned enough till today. Learn it tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow, I keep on telling myself, maybe if I'll sleep on it, I'll get up tomorrow and then I'll understand the sugiya better. So Rabbi Chaim Ben Attar is saying here, don't be lazy. If you're coming to a point in your learning that you're trying to learn and you don't understand something, don't postpone it to later on. Stay on it. Put in the effort. Try to understand it again and again and again. Oy lo, oy le gufo. Oy va'avoy is like giving us, like I can see the finger. Oy va'avoy, what are you doing? It's not good for you. It's not good to your body. Bevaday she'alav ne'emar la'masmil she'neset lo sumad muta. Biyuto b'chevrat ha'chaverim kayotze bo leva li'chaven da'ato. Shema lo ya'ale b'yado davar ha'nish'al bo. ולזה קודם הוא מתרשל וטעמו בנאומו. So when someone will come and ask you, you won't be able to answer because you're becoming like you're blind, you're becoming suma. When you're pushing it, when you're postponing the understanding, when you're not willing to work hard on understanding, you're becoming blind, blind to the depth, blind to the understanding. And then when someone will come and ask you about something else, about something that you know, all of a sudden you won't remember it because it's all connected. It's all intertwined together. כי זה דקדוקי עניות ועל עצמו ניבא ענני. וזה הולך אחר יצר הרע. You're going, you're following your bad traits כדי שישאר בכבודו במקום המונח. והשני, למה לילה הגרבה הגיעת הבשר? מה שאין כן ההולך אחר רצת היצר הטוב. אשר יתרח במלאכת שמיים בכל כוחו. But if you would listen to the good parts, to your יצר הטוב, then you'll stay on it. You'll push through. You'll stick to מלאכת שמיים. Because it says, we also know, it says, החש בראשו יעסוק בתורו. If you have a headache, you should sit and learn Torah. והיא שם החיים. Torah is the drug of life. מאמין שהתורה היא המרפתו. Because Torah has the ability to heal us. מה שאין כן מי שחס על עצמו לבל יתרח. But if you feel bad for yourself, if you feel sorry for yourself, and you don't bother to, to try and find the answer, to try and to push through it, then don't bother, then the Torah won't heal you. מגלה דעתו שאינו מאמין בדברי חזל דרפואות. Meaning, if you don't push through, it means that you don't believe חזל, when they're telling you that Torah have the ability to heal you. לכן עצה טובה מהאח הגמרינן לי, כי לא עליך המלאכה לגמור. וצריך המעיין לבדוק עד מקום שידו מגעת. When you're learning Torah, you have to keep on learning Torah as far as you can go. ואם ידע דאק התלמיד חכם מעיין יותר ממנו בפלפול וסברה, בו יבוא אצלו לידע עומק השס. And if you know someone who learns more Torah than you, he knows more Torah than you, you should go to him and you should learn from him. Meaning you should ask a rabbi, you should put in an effort and not just sit and learn by yourself. But if you have an obstacle, go and ask and try and find out and take the time to do research in order to sit and learn into depth. And don't listen to your yetzer hara that tells you, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe I'll understand it better tomorrow. Don't postpone it. It's a paragraph that I really like from החפץ חיים, from רבי חיים בן עטר, because it's always an inside dialogue, נכון? When you learn, and you're coming to something that you don't understand, how much do you push through, and how much do you, I tell myself, okay, maybe later, maybe I'll ask someone, maybe I'll sleep on it, maybe I'll understand it better. So this is something that I have in mind. לא עליך המלאכה לגמור. I also brought to you, I wanted it to be relevant, from this week, parasha. Be'ezrat Hashem, we're going to read parashat Shoftim. It's a beautiful parasha. Shoftim v'shotrim ta'ase b'she'arecha. The importance or the tzivui to nominate Shoftim, judges, v'shotrim, police officer. בשעריך, in the gates of the city. And a lot of commentaries are saying it's not only in the city that you build, in your community, that it's important that you will have justice and you will have courts and you will have judges, but it's also talking, the Hasidut is referring to Shoftim v'Shotrim ta'aseh b'she'arecha. She'arecha, the gates are the gates of the face, meaning your mouth, your nose, your eyes, and your ears. These are the gates of your body and your soul. So you should do judges and policemen in your gates, meaning you should know what to put in and what to leave out. What do you want to look at? What do you want to listen to? What do you want to eat? And you should use some judgment before you're using all of your gates. So this is about Shoftim v'Shotrim. And then at the when we continue in the parasha, there's Ki Tetzeh L'Milchama, when you go out to war. And Or HaChaim is commentary on Ki Tetzeh L'Milchama. Again, he's not talking about when you go out to war in order to conquer Eretz Yisrael, Milchemet Chova, mandatory war that everyone has to go, all the soldiers, and about fighting, real fighting. But he's talking about Ki Tetzeh L'Milchama, you are going out to war. You are going to war within yourselves, to the voices within you that are telling you to put it aside, to postpone it, to don't do it right now, to be lazy, to go to sleep, to use your time differently. This is the war. The war is internal. The war is not external to you. So this is what Or HaChaim HaKadosh is writing about the Pasuk of Ki Tetzeh L'Milchama. Efshar Lefaresh, we can make a commentary, שכוונת הפסוק, that the intention of the Pasuk, למלחמת האדם עם יצרו. The war is between the person to his יצר. ויש לדקדק זאת מלשון הכתוב, and we can read it ממש in the Pasuk, that it says, כי תצא למלחמה, when you go out to war, meaning, למלחמה הידועה. It's a well-known war. It's not just, כי תצא למלחמה, to conquer יריחו. It's when you'll go out to war, the war. The war is the war that everyone is dealing with it. Everyone is challenged with the same war. וזוהי המלחמה הידועה, which war is the well-known war? זוהי מלחמת היצר, שאין גדולה ממנה. This is the war against the יצר, that there is no bigger war than this one. במלחמה זו, in this war, יש שני דברים מיוחדים. There are two special things שמתישים כוחו של אדם, that making every person to be exhausted, to be tired. It's tiring to fight the Yetzer all the time. To be in a war all the time, it's very tiring. And there are two special things about it. The one, שהאדם אינו רגיל ומאומן במלחמה זו כמו האויב שלו, היצר הרע. Meaning the person is not, he's not trained to fight the Yetzer הרע, meaning his resources are limited. His power is limited. And the Yetzer Hara is unlimited. He always have the power or the energy to keep on fighting you. And you don't have the power, unlimited power and unlimited energy. השני, מלחמת היצר כוללת את כל תחומי החיים. It includes all aspects of life. ולכן זה מקשה עליו לנצח את היצר. And that's why it's hard to win over the יצר. Because it's not just a battle in one front. You have many different fronts that you have to fight on. בנוסף לכך, in addition to that, כאשר האדם נכשל בעבירה, when you fail, when you do עבירה, when you do something wrong, מתווסף בו כוח הרע. There is extra power. When I talk to my kids about it, I told them it's like the bad person in the computer games. He's earning more life. Every time that when you do, he's earning more power. He has more ability to keep on playing. So Or HaChaim HaKadosh is saying here, every time that you do a vera, every time that you do a sin, mitvasef bo koach hara, meaning the yetzer hara, he's adding on more power. V'davar ze makshe v'machbid od yoter lenatzach et hayetzer. And that's why he's getting stronger and stronger, and you're getting weaker and weaker, and it's harder to win over the yetzer. אך למרות כל זאת, but despite all of that, רומזת כאן התורה, the Torah is giving us a hint here, שלא יתייאש, don't despair, ולא יפחד, don't be scared. האדם מהמלחמה עם היצר. You shouldn't be scared and you shouldn't have despair from fighting the Yetzer Hara, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you, Ki tetzeh lemilchama, ונתנו השם אלוקיך בידך. השם, it's true. You by yourself alone, maybe you won't be able to win over the Yetzer Hara. But because you're trying so much, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you. He will be with you there in your battle. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see that you're on a fight, that you're fighting it, that you're trying, that you're in a war, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you to win over the Yetzer Hara. Even though the Yetzer Hara have advantages over you, even though Hayetzer Hara have something that helps him to have endless power and endless wish to keep on fighting you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be with you and will help you to win over the Yetzer Hara. Do we have a few more minutes? Can we, Rabbi, how are we doing? Can just the end of this? Ulai Sheramaz HaKatuv, Milchemet HaAdam Im Yitzro. סליחה, it's the same. It's the same. I'm gonna go out. So about Or HaChaim, just a close up. I think on the outside, when you look at Or HaChaim from the outside, the first thing that dragged me to research him and to try and to learn from his Torah is to try and understand how come a rabbi from Russia that never met him decided that he was so important and that his Torah was so unique and so powerful that he told all of his students to call him Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and he told all of his students to go out and to search for his books and to learn his Torah, because HaBaal Shem Tov recognized something in Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Throughout the years, Or HaChaim, I think is, I don't know about you, but in Israel, it's very well known. I use it a lot when I talk in front of my community during Shabbatot. I love to bring parts of Or HaChaim HaKadosh, because even for a person like me, which I don't know a lot, but I don't learn Kabbalah, I don't know Zohar, but it makes it easy to get ideas from the Kabbalah without actually learning Kabbalah. I'm not learning Kabbalah. But when you read Or HaChaim HaKadosh, he has depth of ideas that you read the Chumash and you get different ideas than what I get from if I learn Ibn Ezra or Radak or Sforno or all the commentaries. It has a different point of view. I think that in his Hakdamah, in his preview, you could see that Or HaChaim wasn't afraid to think different and to give us something new. He wasn't afraid of what people will say about him and what people will think about him. And I think that it was a very wise decision to decide to print out his commentary together with the Chumash and not in a different book. And I think it proved himself, because till today we have people that are buying Chumashim together with the commentary of Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Just like you read Chumash with Rashi, you would read Chumash with Or HaChaim HaKadosh. So I think his kidney told him right. And I think Ken, he was very special. We will never understand the special connection that Baal Shem Tov and Or HaChaim HaKadosh had. I think they had a chavruta together in the Shamaim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu somewhere over there. But obviously they knew of one another, even without meeting. Or HaChaim HaKadosh took the journey from Morocco through Italy to Israel. And he came to Israel together with his two wives. He was married when he was young, and he only had daughters with his first wife. So 10 years after, still in Morocco, he married the second woman, and they lived together, all three of them. And they came to Israel, all of them together, and they are buried together. So next to Or HaChaim HaKadosh, a tombstone, his grave, you would see his both wives' graves next to him. And it says the wife of Or HaChaim and the wife of Or HaChaim. He never had sons. So there's no direct continuity to Or HaChaim HaKadosh. He only had daughters. And no one knows what happened with his descendants. No one knows about his grandkids and what have happened to them. They are not... no one recognized them today. We don't know who they are. He really wanted sons and he never got them. But he got a lot of students and a lot of people that are learning his Torah, both men and women. I hope he's fine with it, that women are learning his Torah. Ken, so he was a very special dmut of a rabbi. And that's about Or HaChaim HaKadosh.
Okay, thank you very much. Before we take a couple of questions in the chat box, it's interesting how Mossad HaRav Kook removed the Or HaChaim from the Mikra Gedolot. He was, you know, if you get the Mikra Gedolot is like, you know, in the major leagues, you know, if they put you in, like it's in the Vilna Shas, you know, you have printed in the Gemara, you have to have like a side book. So the Mikra Gedolot is the, you know, that, so for most editions of Mikra Gedolot have the Or HaChaim and the Kli Yakar. Rav Ephraim Lunshitz of Prague. And when Mosada Rav Kook put out a different edition, they added in the Radak, who was not in the traditional Mikra Gedolot. They added in Rav Sadia Gaon, a few things. They put it in block letters, and then they removed the Or HaChaim and the Kli Yakar. So that's interesting. I don't know if you want to comment on that. You don't have to, but tells you Or HaChaim is very hard to read. I have in the back, I never opened it up, I must say. But a five-volume set. I don't know even how I got it. But the Or HaChaim, like printed in a separate, you know, critical edition, five volumes. They're in the black and the blue. But anyways, okay.
Only in order to force us to buy the Or HaChaim by itself.
Yeah, that's
have like, it in our house. But it says that even if you don't understand, the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, all the Chassidiyot are saying that even if you don't understand and you can't learn Or HaChaim HaKadosh, just to have it in your home is considered to be protection.
The story of Schneer Lyman makes it, you know, Schneer, the Gadol Hador in everything, you know, everything to Jewish history and knowledge and books. So it's an amazing library, the Lyman collection. So he gave a talk here in Toronto a number of years ago on a very controversial topic, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, and, you know, Yipsukim of the Torah being added in post-Mosaic additions to the Torah, the Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, one of the great Balei HaTosavim, one of the founders of, you know, the Hasidim of the Middle Ages, not the Hasidim of the Baal Shem Tov, a whole different thing. So he quoted the book, this whole book that was... should it be banned? So he said he has a compromise. He owns the book, but he doesn't read it. That was his way of dealing with the rabbis who said the book is okay. And the rabbi said the book is heresy and you have to burn it. So he says I'm sure he read it. That was like a joke, but he read everything. Anyways, okay. Do you want to answer a couple of questions? Thank you. Daughters don't count. Yeah, that's, I
can't. Of course daughter counts.
I'm sorry?
Of course the daughter counts.
No, but I think...
And I understand. That's why he took another wife. I don't know. Well, of course daughter
counts. It's true. Listen, we can't deny the... It's still true in many circles. Having a son, I can tell you when we got married. And in 1993, we came to Israel. And my wife's cousin got married a week after we arrived. We came for the year. And he was marrying, I think, a Moroccan girl. Moroccan or Yemen, now I don't remember. But for sure, from the East, from the Islamic worlds. And the mother, we had been married 3 months or something. And the mother of the bride came over to my wife, Ilana, and said, she gives you a bracha tialach ben. Not that you'll have a child, but you know, this is the mother talking, because that's the culture. In that culture, a son is more valuable than a daughter. We deny that at our, you know, whether we like it or not, it's a whole different story. But that's the way it was.
In my family, we say it doesn't matter if it's a boy or a girl, as long as there's a Brit.
Okay. Yes. All right. So somebody wanted to ask, I put the question to them twice, I think, you see, about owning books. I don't know. Talisman of Magic is an interesting question. I hope that would be answered. I think that was the question. Somebody wanted to know about having books you don't understand. Is that what the question was? Let's see where it was. Up on top. Can you talk a little bit more about talismans? Holy objects, buying books you cannot read or understand. Expensive, maybe good for the publishing industry, which on the surface comes close to resembling magic. I'm not sure.
About kmeot.
Oh, kmeot.
Ken, I don't have a lot to say about it because I don't do it. I don't have kmeot. I don't use kmeot. I don't understand it. But I do understand that it's something that exists. I don't learn Kabbalah. And I don't, even more than that, I don't practice Kabbalah. In Kabbalah, you can learn it and you can practice it. So people that practice Kabbalah, they can write kmeot, and people that believe in it or that cherish it will buy those kmeot or whatever. I truly don't know because I don't learn Kabbalah, obviously don't practice Kabbalah, and I don't own any kmeot, even though I'm Moroccan. In my house, my mom kept on saying, if you don't believe in Ayin Hara, so there's no Ayin Hara on you. And so we never had chamsa in my house or all kinds of those things. Very rational home. So be'emet, I don't know.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, all people. Thank you, Yasher Koach. And I didn't know you were in Switzerland this week, but
I also didn't know. It's a last minute thing. I'm very Israeli. We just took the kids because they're talking in Israel about quarantine again.
Right, of course.
So we took the kids and we went for a week.
So now when you come back, you have to quarantine, or you don't know? You do, no?
No. The quarantine starts on Monday, and we're coming back home on Sunday, Be'ezrat Hashem.
That's how they make all the laws, you know, like they hear. They went into lockdown. They announced it the day after Christmas, you know, so everybody could mingle on Christmas and spread COVID. You know, that's how they do it. So I don't understand, but what do I know? Okay, everybody. Tonight, Mark Shapiro, class 196 in our ongoing series. They're going on for over 10 years. Great rabbinic thinkers. Of course, it's class one in a new series. It's not like you have to go to the past 195 on Rav Shaul Lieberman, Ke'ilui in Slobodka, comes to America, of course, after some time in Israel, Machon Harry Fischel, and people don't. And then he, of course, spent his career at the Jewish Theological Seminary, author of the great commentary on Tosefta. So Dr. Mark will perform his magic and do ongoing series. We never know how many weeks it's going to last. It's sort of as material comes up. And those who've attended the classes know what I'm talking about. Those who haven't, I invite you to come tonight at 8:30. Shira, it's only 1:30 in Switzerland. The 3:30 in Israel, I'll tell you not to come. 1:30 in Switzerland, maybe you can come, right? You're only 5 hours ahead of us, I think, in Switzerland. Anyways, I don't know, any skiing in August in Switzerland? I've never been, so no skiing. No, can't.
I highly recommend. It's beautiful, but no skiing right now.
Right. It's not magic. Yeah, whatever Mark done. Yeah, that I didn't mean that in that sense, right? You know, but always interesting material. And as I mentioned, next Monday we'll have two classes in our new series. The Dr. Daniel Reinhold, both on topics within Tshuva, the philosophical aspect of Tshuva, and then at 1:15, Tshuva through models in Tanakh. So we look at 11 and 1 next week. This Wednesday, Benny Gesundheit is back after his 30-part series on Tehillim that we had. So he's going to give me a 4-part series on Musings of the Machzor. You know Dr. Benny?
Benny Rich?
Benny Gesundheit. It's a great name for a medical doctor. You know him, of course. He's your neighbor. So
of him, not
of him. Yeah, he's well worth listening to. That's this Wednesday, starting his series. That'll be at 11, 1 o'clock. Of course, you know, Simi Peter still has a couple of weeks to finish off her series, 2 more weeks on Sefer Yirmiyahu. Okay, we look forward to learning with you and seeing with you and Shiva and Joy. And please God, we look forward to learning with you in the future. And all the best.
Okay. Toda rabba, everyone.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, bye-bye.